Well, thank you all for being here this evening. Welcome back to another work service at the South Valley Church of Christ. I'm thankful for the opportunity I have again to stand and bring another message from the Word of God. It's always a great responsibility. And this evening, I'd like to bring some words to you directly from the Bible. We'll be spending a significant portion of our time in the Old Testament, specifically from the book of Psalms. If you're familiar with listening to me, you've heard from the Psalms before, and sometimes I tackle a whole book, sometimes I tackle just a verse. This evening, I'd like to look at Psalm 119, but never fear, we're not going to go through all of Psalm 119. It's a rather long psalm. I think most of us are the poetic message behind the psalm, that it is an alphabetic acrostic, where the first letter of each of the words is a specific Hebrew letter, and it goes through the Hebrew to praise God. And one of the things that I find interesting about this psalm is the ways that it mentions God's ordinances and God's laws. And this evening's sermon is entitled Encouraged by the Ordinances. We can see, just taking a look at Psalm 119, and in verse 1, it says, "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord." So the psalmist automatically enters into this concept of his laws and his ordinances. Verse 2, "How blessed are those who observe his testimonies. Oh, he talks about the testimonies. Verse 9, "How could a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." So we have the laws, we have testimonies, we have God's word. The 10th verse there, it says, "With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments." This is a psalm about the importance of God's word, the importance of his laws, his testimonies. And it continues on. You can any multiple number of verses. You can just point your finger at a verse. I've turned here to verse 59. "I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies." That's the importance that the psalmist is bringing up to us, is what we can find from the ordinances, from the word, from the law of God. I'd like to take a look at Psalm 19, beginning in verse 89. I'd like to start here because from time to time, I believe that all of us struggle with spiritual discouragement. We live our lives attempting to be faithful. It's a large portion of what it is that we do and what we should be focused on, being faithful to the Lord. But there are times where we are discouraged. There are times where we suffer from a spiritual lethargy. It happens. We're humans. We go through ups and downs. It doesn't mean that we don't believe in God. It just means that sometimes our faith is stronger than less strong than we'd like it to be. Some days our circumstances can overwhelm us. We might even struggle just to pray at times because of the things that we might have going on in our lives. But we should never let those things separate us from God. And sometimes we just don't feel like doing the things that we should do. For whatever reason that might be, sometimes God feels far off and unreachable. And David faced times like these in his life. David's a grand example of falling away from God and coming back to him. And because of that, the Psalms are filled with verses that express his despair and his feelings of abandonment. But the book of Psalm also gives us advice on being victorious over those difficult times in our lives. And so that leads us to Psalm 119, beginning in verse 89. The psalmist records for us, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances, for all things are your servants." The psalmist reveals to us that the Lord God and his word stand firm forever. They are unmovable, unshakable. It is something that we can depend upon, something we can rely on, something that we can continue to come back to in moments of weakness and in doubt. He goes on to say that God's faithfulness continues throughout all generations. And he gives some sort of proof of this. He follows it up and says, "You established the earth and it stands." All of the things about the earth you established, and what you established stands true until this day. He goes on to say that those things stand this day because of your laws, because of God's ordinances. Everything that is in existence exists and stands and continues to exist the way that it was created because of God's ordinances. Because all things must succumb to God's ordinances. The psalmist goes on to say that all things are your servants. They must obey his law. The psalmist gives us additional information about all things belonging underneath the control of God. Turn back just a couple psalms to Psalm 104 to get a greater picture of all those things which are servants of the Lord God Almighty. Psalm 104, and I'd like to spend some time in this psalm to give us an understanding of all the things that are based upon the ordinances of God. Psalm 104 in verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a cloak, stretching out heaven like a tent curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariots. He walks upon the wings of the wind. He makes the winds his messengers, flaming fire his ministers. He established the earth upon its foundations so that it will not totter forever and ever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters were standing above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they hurried away. The mountains rose, the valleys sank down to the place which you established for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass over so that they will not return to cover the earth. He sends forth springs in the valleys. They flow between the mountains. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them, the birds of the heavens dwell. They lift up their voices among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the labor of man, so that he may bring forth food from the earth. And wine which makes man's heart glad so that he may make his face glisten with oil, and food which sustains man's heart. The trees of the Lord drink their fill, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds build their nests, and the stork whose home is in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats, the cliffs are a refuge for the Shephanim. He made the moon for the seasons. The sun knows the place of its setting. You appoint darkness, and it becomes night, in which all the beasts of the forest prowl about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. Man goes forth to his work and to labor until evening. O Lord, how many are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. There is the sea, great and broad, in which are swarms without number, animals both great and small. There are ships there, the ships move along, and Leviathan, which you have formed a sport in it. They all wait for you to give them their food in due season. You give to them, they gather it up. You open your hand, they are satisfied with good. You hide your face, they are dismayed. You take away their spirit, they expire and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let the Lord be glad in his works. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. So in Psalm 104, we find that everything is underneath the power of God. Everything was created by Him. Everything has a season. The sun and the moon do their jobs. The seasons come and go. The winters turn into fall. The fall turns back into winter. You have rain that lands on the ground to sprout up things for animals to eat so that man can have the food from the animals. Everything happens for a reason, and it all happened because of the ordinances of God. They continue to happen this way because that's the law that God set forth. And so Psalm 119 speaks of these ordinances. Psalm 119 is dedicated to these ordinances. Let's turn back to Psalm 119 and continue where we left off. There in verse 91, it says, they stand this day. All of those things that we read about in Psalm 104, they stand this day according to your ordinances. For all things are your servants. And then the psalmist goes on to say, if your law had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. For by them you have revived me. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. And what I find from this is great encouragement that, yeah, there are times, there are days when we can rise from our beds and we just don't feel like facing the world. We don't feel like expressing ourselves in the way that God would have us do so. We don't feel as if we can approach God's throne through prayer. We don't feel worthy of the things that God has done for us. We don't feel as though we can live up to what His expectations are. But really what we need to do is obey God's ordinances. We need to obey His commands. We need to live by His law. We need to seek to love Him. We need to seek Him. We need to seek to follow Him. Because everything in this world, everything that has been created, is doing the same thing. We are no different. We are upheld by His law. We are upheld by His ordinances. And the psalmist says that if your law had not been my delight, if I didn't take pleasure in your law, if I left that behind me, if I turned my back on your law, regardless of my feelings, regardless if that's what I feel like doing that day, if I had turned my back on your law, if it hadn't been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Recalling God's faithfulness and control over everything that exists should give us the strength to walk with God even when we feel like giving up. He is perfectly capable of sustaining us if we will only let Him. We simply need to choose to delight in His law and to diligently consider God's precepts, despite how we may feel. Choosing to delight in God might not be easy. It might even involve hard work. But only God can revive and save our soul from spiritual lethargy. And something that should help us is knowing that we are continually surrounded by God. When we delight in the Lord, He will be with us. When we delight in His laws and His ordinances. And David writes that we are surrounded by His love. Turn back to Psalm 32. The psalmists, not just David, but the psalmists in general speak of these things. This does happen to be a psalm of David. In Psalm 32, beginning in verse 10, it says, many are the sorrows of the wicked. But he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. God's love continually surrounds those who are righteous. God's love continually surrounds those who rejoice in His ordinances and His precepts. And this love is amazing. This love has depths to which we might never fully understand until we are face to face with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, until we are living eternally in the presence of God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. This should be a familiar passage for us, but it's true today as it ever was. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. I'll back it up to verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We should always allow the knowledge that we are continually surrounded by God's unfailing love to permeate our lives. Sometimes that's an easy thing for us to mistake. It's an easy thing for us to forget. But there was so much that was done for us. There's so much that's continually to be done for us. There was a sacrifice that was made once and for all time. The love of God is astounding. The love of God is deep. It surpasses our knowledge. But we should be filled up with that fullness despite all of our complaints and our fears. Knowing that, we should take solace in the idea and the concept that we can press on, that we can continue. We're encouraged to stay focused on our goal. The Bible gives us many words of encouragement to do so. This goal of eternal life in heaven with God, of all the historical figures that we find in the Bible, it's hard for me to think of one who was more concerned with his eternal salvation than the Apostle Paul. It didn't matter whether he was preaching to a crowd or sitting in a damp, cold prison. Paul had one goal before which everything in his life took a back seat. We find that in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 14. Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That was his goal. And despite his circumstances, despite how he felt each day that he woke up in chains and in bondage, each day that he woke up after being beaten and abused, he continued to press on towards the goal. And that goal is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We find something similar in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. Again, Paul states for us, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize?" And so he gives us some words of advice. He says, "Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 12, beginning in verse 1, says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Another passage continuing with this concept, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We have the ability to keep going, to press on towards the goal. It's God's law, it's God's ordinances that we are concerned with. Those are the things that we care about. If we focus on those, if we press towards the goal of obeying God and maintaining his commandments, we have a prize that is waiting for us. And we have examples of Christian men who lived their life in such a way that obedience to God was the most important thing to them. These men experienced things that we will probably never experience while we're living on this earth. Paul knew a man, whether it was in the spirit, he does not know, but he was lifted up to the third heavens. The things that man must have seen, the things that man must have known. And I know a man named Paul who is telling me to continue to run the race, to continue to obey God, to press towards that goal. We should take those words to heart, knowing that it's not just for Paul to win that race, but it's for us as well. So what can we do today? Well, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. When you hear the laws, the testimonies, the precepts, the commandments, the words of God, do not harden your hearts. And we need to ask ourselves if we are living with hardened hearts, or are we living in the presence of God? Are we shunning God's commandments and his ordinances, or are we drawing from his strength? Are we seeking to know him, and are we seeking to understand the power of the resurrection today? There are many things in our past that might be keeping us from God. There are many things that have scarred us physically and emotionally, and those things can be difficult to overcome. But we need to learn to leave the past with the Lord. We also need to learn to leave the future with the Lord. As much as we shouldn't worry about those things that were in the past because we've been covered by the blood of Jesus, we shouldn't worry about what's going to happen in the future either. But what we should do is resolve to cling to God and to dwell in his presence, because he truly has the whole world in his hands and his strength is perfect. Turn back to Psalm 95. We'll wrap up with this. The psalmist in Psalm 95 is singing with joy, praises to the Lord, and warning against unbelief, warning against failure to obey the ordinances, the laws, and the precepts of God. And Psalm 95 says, "O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it was he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." It's not always easy to maintain your faith. It's not always easy from day to day to be as strong as we were. Sometimes the things of this world get in our way. Those are the wiles of the devil. We've talked about those in the past. And emotions are a difficult thing to control. To feel a certain way each and every day is unrealistic. But the goal of obeying God's commands is realistic. God has not given us commands that are too burdensome for us to keep. He hasn't done anything that isn't for our own good.
God knows what we need. He knows how to hold all things together. And if God can maintain the universe that he created through just a singular word, he can keep all of this held together. If God can do that, then imagine what he can do in our lives. Imagine what he can do for each one of us when we are feeling despair, when we are feeling discouraged, when we're lethargic. Remember the power that God has. Remember the hope that there is in Jesus the Christ. Remember the saving power that there is in God's grace by the mere fact that he sent his only begotten Son to this earth to live, to be a perfect example for us of what obedience is, to take our burdens and sins upon him as he went to the cross, to be beaten, to be abused, to be spat upon, to be reviled, to be ridiculed, to be hung on a cross, to be nailed there, and to have those words that say, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." That is the love of God. And if we obey his commandments, if we succumb to his will instead of our own, if we go down into the waters of baptism, understanding that baptism is for the remission of sins, that as we rise out of those waters, we are clean, we are new, we are holy and sanctified in the sight of God. And as we rise from those waters and continue to obey God's commands, continue to do the things that he's set before us, continue to run that race, then there is a reward waiting for us in heaven. We have the words of the Apostle Paul to look back on and to understand that. We can internalize that and we can accept that as the truth. If you haven't entered into the waters of baptism, if you haven't been forgiven of your sins, you have the opportunity this evening. It's a very simple thing. All you need to do is to hear the word, God's law, his truth, his precepts, his ordinances. You need to obey those words. You need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten Son of the true and living God. You need to repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, be baptized, and to live your life in service to God. If that's something that you'd like to do this evening, we'd be willing and happy to do that for you, and we'll welcome you to the family of God. For any of our brothers and sisters here this evening who are struggling with lethargy, who are struggling with the day-to-day struggles that we do as Christians, if your faith has been shaken, if you are weaker than you were yesterday, look at the things around us. Be cognizant of what God has done. There is a bigger picture. There is something greater than ourselves, and God is holding all of this together. He cares about his entire creation, every last one of us. He cares so much that he offered his own Son on our behalf. So if you've fallen away, if there are things in your heart, return to God. If there are sins in your life that are of a private nature, repent of those sins. Go to God in prayer. Ask him for forgiveness. And he is righteous and holy, and he will forgive you. But move forward from this day on in a different direction. Repent of those things and turn away from them. If your sins are of a public nature, those things that have brought shame and reproach upon the church and upon God, bring those forward this evening. And we will pray with you. We will pray for you. And again, God is merciful and he will forgive. If there's anything else that's on your hearts and minds, please bring those to the attention of the congregation, and we'll bring those to God on your behalf. We ask you to come as we stand and as we sing.